Gather round, take a seat, relax. It's the Verbringen with Rabbi Levi Avtzon, right here on 101.9 Chai FM.
This is 101.9 Chai FM, and my name is Rabbi Levi Avtzon, and here we are in the afterglow, aftermath of Purim, and 4 weeks till Pesach. And what does that word mean to you when you hear that we're 4 weeks before Passover? I'm sure it means, oh, the easiest, most chill time on the calendar. I wish I was joking. I wish I was actually serious. That as Pesach gets closer, we start getting anxiety levels. But I'm not here to talk about Pesach because we're going to, please God, have many shows before Pesach. But I'm here to really talk about the bridge. The calendar, the Jewish calendar, is a fascinating calendar where each month has themes. And some months' themes are stronger than others. Specifically, the month that we're in now and the month we're going to be going into in a while, which is still 2 weeks away. And that is, we are now in the month of joy. And we then cross over into the month of freedom. And my argument today is going to be pretty simple. There's a reason why freedom follows joy. Because joy literally hides within it the secret of freedom, the secret of survival, the secret of rebirth. And obviously, we could spend countless hours on defining joy, and we've done that in the past and maybe in the future as well. But for the moment, we all know what joy looks like, and we definitely know what sadness looks like, the opposite of joy. Joy is a lighter energy, an energy of upliftment, energy that the heart expands. I remember one time hearing that when somebody's happy, they don't know how to hold a grudge. If you're holding grudges, then you're definitely not a happy person. I've never heard of anybody happy that holds resentment. You're not vengeful. You're not angry, right? Happiness is the antidote to all that. It's uplifting yourself beyond the pettiness and the rubbish. And the happiness is the way you live when you want to live without regrets, right? They always say, when you're on your deathbed, you don't regret this or this or this or that. If you were happy, chances are most of the stuff we regret, we wouldn't have done. We don't sin when we're truly happy, because the greatest tool of the evil inclination of the Yetzer Hara, of our darker side of our impulse, is sadness. It's much easier to break somebody down when they're down, right? When somebody is enjoying life and has a healthy self-esteem and is content with their life, chances are they'll sin much less. Chances are they'll self-sabotage much less. They'll be in a great space. And right now, we need more joy. We've spoken about this in the past, but we need more joy, because you cannot make good decisions. You cannot live to your greatest potential when you are sad. You know, next month, it's the month of freedom. It's also the month of miracles. And the truth is, even this month, the month of Adar, the month of Purim, is also the month of miracles. And when you think about miracles for a moment, if you may, what is the greatest miracle? Or a different way of putting it is, what is the definition of a miracle? The definition of a miracle is something that transcends nature. There's a natural way of doing things, right? The water is not supposed to split, and then the water splits, right? The water is not supposed to turn into blood, and it does. Whatever situation we're talking about, fundamentally, a miracle is something that defies nature. Now, for God to defy nature, let's be honest, it's not hard. He created nature, and he could defy it. Every day, the nature itself is a miracle, because it's God's creation. And for God to let nature have its system and defy nature, it's one's not harder or easier than the other. They're both God, and they're both within his capabilities, of course. Right? If he could do limited, he could do limitless, he could do limited, he could do nature, he could do unnatural, he could do beyond nature, it's all the same. But for the human being, when the human being witnesses something that defies nature, they're like, wow, it's a miracle. It's a ness. It's a miracle. So let's talk about that. If a miracle is defying nature, then what is the greatest miracle of all? Not when God defies nature, because for God, there is no miracle. It's all the same. The greatest miracle is when a human being defies his or her nature. Then you're in a miracle. Then you're living a miraculous time. When you can transcend your nature, when you could do something that is unexpected, right? Most of us are, as human beings, we become almost like on autopilot. We become very predictable, right? Those of us who are super sensitive, we're predictably sensitive. Those of us who are hyper, predictably hyper. Those of us who are introverted are predictably overwhelmed to crowds. Those of us who are extroverted get energized, et cetera, right? Most of us are pretty predictable by the people that know us. And on the most part, that's fine. That's our nature, and that's okay. But what if you want to become a miracle maker? What if you want to truly do something incredible? It's when you defy your nature, when you do something that's totally unnatural, where everyone expected you to react a certain way, and you transcend the natural way that you have within your system to behave, and you do something beyond that. That is fundamentally miraculous. And that's something that we truly must aspire for. We have to be able to aspire to create more miracles. And the only way to create those miracles is if we embrace joy, simcha, where we become a more uplifted version of ourselves. The human being is such a paradox, because on the one hand, we can climb the greatest heights. We can be unbelievable. And on the other hand, we can be so petty. And the truth is, it's not two different people. In other words, I'm not saying, oh, look at that person. He or she transcended their nature. They're amazing. Look at that person. They're petty. No, each and every one of us in our own lives, in the same day, in the same hour, can do one thing which is unbelievable and transcendent. And on the literally a minute later, do something so, so petty. And I remember, like, it hit me. I think I've shared it before a while ago. I remember just like this moment where I had just been on the phone and I was really helping somebody go through a really, really tough, through a tough period. And I really felt I showed up to the moment and I really, I was there for them. And then I was looking, I walked into a shop and like someone was trying to get in the line, and I kind of like just made sure to get in the line before them. And I was like, yes, I saved myself 5 seconds. And then I thought to myself, my gosh, seriously, did you really, like, for the 5 seconds, the other person wanted to get in the line, did you really have to push ahead of them? And that's when it hit me that it's not some people are great and some people are average, the way often it's old. You want to become great, you want to achieve greatness, as if greatness is this everlasting space you enter. No, every moment of every day in each and every one of us, we're all battling between mediocre and exceptional, between passable and transcendence. In other words, we're all fighting between our animal part and our godly part. And it's not a once-off battle. You don't become great, but rather each moment you fight to become great in that moment. You fight for, you don't become it as much as that moment becomes a moment of greatness. That moment becomes a moment of transcendence. So we're right now in the month of Adar, we're in the month of joy and the month of miracles. And we're going into another month of miracles soon. And my message today is, let's become that miracle. And the way to become that miracle is to embrace joy. Because if we are buggered, if we are down, if we are smashed, if we are not ourselves, we make bad decisions. And when we make bad decisions, we unravel our lives. And we unravel our lives, and we get in a worse situation, then we get more stress, and then we make worse decisions, etc. The only way we get out of the cycle of self-destruction is by embracing gratitude and joy and a lighter energy. to uplift ourselves, to stop feeling so negative and so down. Ivdu et Hashem b'simcha. We have to serve God with joy. Joy is fundamental. An entire month, and this year, because it was a leap year, 2 months were dedicated for us to internalize the joy. And we still have 2 more weeks in this month. And the calling and the mandate is on each and every one of us, specifically. And I'm talking to myself, first and foremost, to find joy, to uplift, to stop being down. It serves no one, and it just destroys. L'chaim. This is 101.9 Chai FM, and to bring you some joy, here is the most incredible song of hope, Someday, on 101.9 Chai FM.
This is the Fabringen with Rabbi Levi Avtson on 101.9 Chai FM.
Talking about miracles, we're talking about transcendence. We're talking about becoming the best version of yourself. And I want to give an interesting story to it. It's an ancient story. It's actually from the Tanakh, from the Bible. And it's, it was shared in the Haftorah last week in Shul. Just a short shout out for Haftorah, my good friend, who often, when it comes to Haftorah and Shul, everyone's like, okay, that's a perfect 5 minutes to get out and do what I have to do. But Haftorah is fascinating. And if you actually read it each week, you get quite a window into so much of our history, our story, a lot of stories, a lot of prophecies, besides the fact that it's part of the service. But I'm saying just from an educational point of view, it's a fascinating experience. And last week's Haftorah shared a story, which was timely. It was the Parsha of Zachar, very appropriate and very timely. And I want to share that story in a specific verse that really, really stuck out and connects to where we're going. But first, some context. In general, it's always good to offer context for stories, especially in the Tanakh, where, what, how, when. Okay, so most people know that there was a leader named Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses. And Moses took the people out of Egypt about 3,300 years ago and led them in the desert for 40 years. His successor, Joshua, brought them into the land, divided up the land into the 12 tribes, etc. And then for a few hundred years, the Jewish people lived in like a, I wouldn't call it anarchy, although at sometimes it felt like it, but no central government, no central leadership, very basically human beings being themselves, early settlers, the Wild West kind of feel. And at times it worked, a lot of times it didn't work. There's some pretty hectic stories you can read that describe that era of Jewish history in the book of Judges. It's quite an intense read, that much I'll tell you. And at some stage, a few hundred years after the people move into the land, obviously it's a few generations later, there arises a very strong prophet, a very central figure. His name is Shmuel, Samuel. And there's actually a full book of the Tanakh called the Book of Samuel, the Book of Shmuel. It's so large that it had to be split into two, Shmuel Aleph and Shmuel Bet, Shmuel 1 and 2. It's quite a story. And the whole book is not only about him, the beginning's about him, but he kind of sets a lot of things in motion because he becomes the appointer of kings. So first, the Jewish people approach him and ask if they could appoint a king, and he finds a fellow named Saul. Which we're going to focus on Saul for the story. But after Saul, it doesn't really turn out that well. It was a few years. It was pretty chaotic. And eventually Saul dies at war. He appoints David. Actually, while Saul was still alive, he takes the position away from Saul, gives it to David, and then sets up the Davidic dynasty, which is pretty much the Jewish kings for all of history, and including the future, where Mashiach comes, will be a descendant of David. And Shmuel played that role. So he's a very, very key figure in Jewish history for many other reasons as well. Now, so he appoints King Saul, Shaul HaMelech, and at some stage, he commands Saul to go wipe out the nation of Amalek, there was always an obligation sitting on the Jewish people at that time that they had to wipe out all descendants of Amalek, which was the arch enemy of the Jewish people at the time. And Saul is given the mandate to go wipe them out, and to not only wipe out the humans, to wipe out the animals as well. He decides not to. He lets the animals alive, and he allows the king of Amalek, a fellow by the name of Agag, A-G-A-G, to survive for a few days. And Shmuel gets a prophecy that Shaul did not follow what he was supposed to do. So Shmuel comes and confronts Saul, and that's what we read in last week's Haftarah. It's a pretty intense confrontation. And he says, why am I hearing the sounds of animals? He says, no, I didn't want to kill them. I thought I'll use them as sacrifices to the Lord. And Shmuel says, but that's not what I asked you to do. I asked you to kill them. And then he says a certain statement, which almost seems out of context there, but it's so in context, but more importantly, it's timeless. He says, Haloim katana tabeinecha. Even if you consider yourself small, even if you considered yourself that you were unworthy of this task and you were not up for this task, but nevertheless, Rosh Shiftei Yisrael ata, in truth, you are the head of tribes, you're a king. In other words, you didn't rise to the occasion, you didn't kill the other king, maybe because of your own insecurity, you didn't follow through my full command, because obviously you saw yourself as unworthy, you saw yourself as small. So he tells me, he says, you thought you were small. Katana tabeinecha, it was only in your eyes that you were small. But the truth is, Rosh Shiftei Yisrael atah, the truth is, you're the leader of multitudes, you're the king. Why didn't you rise to the occasion? I gave you a mandate. Why did you hesitate? Why did you lose your nerve? And he kind of removes the kingdom from Saul, and he says, I'm just letting you know that you're not going to be king for much longer. I'm passing it over to somebody else. Then he goes and finds David and appoints David, etc. But that line, I want to say, that's not so much the story, which is obviously important in its own right. It's that line. You're small in your eyes. Often we struggle in this world to rise to the challenges of this world. And especially when things get tough, and let's be honest, we're all living through very tough times, we just feel like, I'm not up for this task. I just, like, that's not what I signed up for, right? How often do I hear from people, Rabbi, we're not sure we want to have kids. We don't want to bring kids into the world like this. And I'm often wondering, like, what do you think most of humanity brought children into the world till now? They brought them into paradise. You don't bring kids into the world to give them paradise. You bring children into the world to add meaning, for them to have a meaningful life. You gift a child. When we bring a child into the world, we're not only gifting ourselves, that's selfish, but more importantly, we're gifting them with the gift of life. And the gift of life is not necessarily pleasure, although there are many moments, hopefully. It's the gift of meaning and purpose. To not just be an angel in heaven, but to face challenges and overcome them. To live this world. But often we feel we're not up for this task. It's like we're small. This is wow. This is way beyond what I signed up for. It's like when you get a job and they describe, oh yeah, that's all we're going to need you. We need you to work 7 hours a day and it's pretty chilled. And then suddenly 2 days into the job, you discover that the job is way more intense and way more stressful. And suddenly the lovely person who interviewed you is gone and you're being run by a tough taskmaster. That kind of thing. And that's what many of us are feeling about life. And it's like, this is hectic. Can't handle this. Wow. And the words of Shmuel ring so true. And he says, Katana tabeinecha, you might feel small, but you're a leader. You're a piece of God in this world. You're divinity. You're infinity. You're created in the image of God. You can transcend. You can do amazing stuff. And you can rise to the occasion. And this is not about pop psychology and yes, you can. Although it might feel that way. It's a deeply spiritual idea that says God set you up in this world because you are the person that can rise to this challenge and need to rise to this challenge because the world hangs on the balance. And the only way we can rise to this challenge, back to where we started, is by stop wallowing in sadness. Stop wallowing in stress. Stop wallowing in self-pity. I've said it before and I'll say it many times on record. I often say about South Africans, we live in heaven and think we're in hell. Now, I'm not saying it's not obviously 100% true. There's a lot of challenges here. But our reaction to our life and often the self-pity we have, it brings that line to mind literally daily. When I'm like, wow, there's so many blessings in this place. And I say this as somebody who's lived around the world. There's so many blessings. But if you're going to wallow in self-pity and literally convince yourself that you were, as one person described it when I moved to South Africa, he says, welcome to the suburb of the universe. Well, if that's the way you feel, like literally you've been sent out of the whole world's going on and you were stuck in South Africa, then yeah, you'll walk around with a tremendous amount of self-pity. But if you feel, if we all choose to feel blessed, uplifted, happy, then we could truly rise to this moment. We could find joy and we can see the blessings and we can celebrate life. And we can face life. Someone who's joyous, Tanya says, we've shared in the past, Tanya chapter 26. Google it. You can find it. Or if you have a Tanya, open it up and read it directly. You cannot fight the battle of life when you are sad. You cannot rise to the occasion. You cannot win the battle of life, and you cannot win against your temptations, and you cannot win against your darker impulses if you are down. If you're stressed out, angry, and sad, you will not win this world. You will not win life. And I'm not talking about win as earning $1 million. I'm talking about winning your own darkness. I'm talking about winning in your own character flaws, rising to the occasion. We cannot win if we don't find joy. But if we remember we're great, if we remember who we come from and how great we are, we can rise. And that's why here's the song Avraham, a great song. We've played it in the past to truly remind you who you are and where you come from.
This is the Verbringen with Rabbi Levi Avtzon on 101.9 High FM.
How awesome was that song, right? Avraham, we're talking to our first father and saying, are you proud of us? I'm sure you are actually proud of us. And that we have your soul inside of us, so we really can rise. That's really the message. The message is that we can rise. And for me, I believe this, and I've shared this before, the single most important message, all of us, parents, teachers, friends, mentors, should be sharing with each other, especially in these hard times. There's a lot of messages, but the number one message is we can rise to this. Yachal nuchal la. We are able to rise to this. We can do this. We can make it through with the whole world, or at least all the governments, going against the lone Jewish small little homeland. And with so much hatred and so much moral confusion. And the person starts doubting and says, can I do this? But then you remember, this is our story. This is our story. I have to repeat this. The most important subject, I as a rabbi believe, that's important that we all need to study, obviously, is Judaism. But the second most important subject is history. Because when you know history, you know we've been here before. Right? You know that we're in less than 4 weeks, we're going to sit down on the first night and second night of the Seder, and we're going to say, V'hisha amda lavoteinu v'lanu shlo achad bovad, amad aleinu l'chaloteinu, ela shelechol dor v'dor, omdim aleinu l'chaloteinu v'akadosh baruch hu matzileinu mi'adam. Right? That God has been with us. That not only the Egyptians, and not only once, that someone tried to annihilate us, but rather in every generation, b'chol dor v'dor, every single generation, they rise. We thought that after the Holocaust, there will be no genocidal maniacs who want to eliminate the Jewish people. It was a nice fantasy while it lasted. But there's always people that want to destroy us. But the three most important words are at the end. God saves us.
every time. We sometimes take a beating, but we come out, and they don't. And that's the message I believe we need to really share. We will come through this. Don't lose your nerve. Katonata be'enecha, rosh yivtei Yisraelata. Even if you're small in your own eyes, you're the leader of multitudes. You are placed. I believe strongly that each and every one of us was placed in this world at a specific time. We could have been born a different time of history, and we could have not been born at all. But you and I were placed in by God at this specific moment with our specific personality, our makeup, our who we are. We were put here because we are the people that need to fight this war. There were great people in the past, but they're all gone. We could take inspiration from them and they could live through us, but they're not here fighting. You and I are fighting. And if God thought that the fight demanded people of their caliber, then believe me, they would have been placed here. But they're not here. You and I are here. And it's our fight to fight. And it's our moment to rise to the occasion. Will we be as great as those people? Will we be Moses, right? No. But you know the story. It's probably the most famous Hasidic anecdote about the famous Rabbi Zusha, Rabbi Zusha of Anipoli. An incredible sage who lived about 200 years ago. And he said that when I come to heaven, they're not going to say, why weren't you as illustrious as Abraham or Moshe? Because even if they do ask it, I'll say, because I'm not Abraham. I'm not Avram. I'm not Moshe. What do you want from me? He says, the question that scares me and the question that I really have to face is, when they're going to look at me and they're going to say, Zusha, Tarvaspis de Niskaven Zusha. Zusha, why weren't you Zusha? Why didn't you rise to the moment that you needed to rise? I never asked you to be Abraham. I never asked you to be worthy of Moshe Rabbein. I didn't ask you that. I just asked you a simple question. Play your part, right? A good play, a good movie, is not only where the main actor is an incredible actor, but where every single person in the play, even the person that has one line, even if the person doesn't have a line, but you simply see their face, they act well. Because if you have a great leader, right, but everyone else is not great, the whole movie is very average. You could have an incredible soccer team. Sorry, a soccer player. But if the rest of the team is not rising to the occasion, they're not going to do well. The team is always the most important. And each person in the team playing whatever part they are. God's not asking us all to be incredible and go change the world and be fantastic and be exceptional. He's just asking us to play our part. Literally, just play our part, to do what we need to do. That's all Hashem asks. And yes, that's very hard. Let's be honest. But I think that once a person stops, once a person gets over their vision of grandiosity, once a person gets over their imagination that, oh, wow, the time is coming and I'm going to be this and I'm going to be that. Once we just realize Hashem doesn't need you to be the main actor. He just needs you to be the actor in your play. Just be a better husband. I'm not asking you to change the world. Treat your wife better. Be a better father. Be a better employee. Treat your employees better. Be a more loyal friend. Get involved in community work. That's all. If you can do more, great. That's not what God's asking us. In other words, first and foremost, he's saying, play your part. And do it knowing that you're changing worlds. Do it knowing that you are, just like Esther was told by Mordechai, and we spoke about it, you are in the right place and the right time. And who knows if it was only for this moment that you're here, that you were appointed to your position. We all have so many moments that are begging for greatness. This moment, every moment, to squeeze the most out of the moment, not only for our own enjoyment, but for impact. to make it memorable. And that can only happen through joy. As we started our show, and as we wrap it up, it's all through joy, through gratitude. We are not going to change anything, definitely not ourselves, if we're walking around beaten up, miserable, full of self-pity, and thinking that we are literally the most pitiful people on the planet. You're not going to get anywhere. Let's get our back straighter. Let's remember who we are. Let's remember who we represent and why we were sent here. We can do this. We have to do this. This is 101.9 Chai FM. Time to leave you with some uplifting, chilled, nice, cute music. Baruch Hashem, you can't say it enough. This is 101.9 Chai FM. Have a great one.